This is Radio Superior 1942, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1942. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1942. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
Well, hello, 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 dear listeners, or maybe I should say ho, 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 ho. This is station KUWS broadcasting from studios in Superior, Wisconsin, the land of beautiful and now frozen lakes. It's Friday, December the 25th, 1942. Merry Christmas, one and all. We've got Lou Martin standing by with the Palace Market 6 o'clock news, and after that, why, we've got the swingin' Yuletide hits. Our Harriet Farig looks at what's playing at our local theaters, and best of all, the kids from the Fair and Square Club will begin to sing us a couple of Christmas carols and read stories they wrote all by themselves.
Hey, that'll be great.
That means, of course, Uncle Bob will be in, too, and then...
And then?
Upholding our Christmas tradition, Captain Q will be by to read us that classic, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Both Uncle Bob and Captain Q, you'll be... Well, I'm sure we'll have a busy show tonight. Funny how you always leave when Uncle Bob or Captain Q comes on.
Yeah, funny. Kind of like Clark Kent is never around when Superman appears. Hey, folks, it'll be a fun Christmas this evening on your radio set. First, let's turn our attention to the Palace Market 6 o'clock news with Lou Martin. The Palace Market with Christmas sausage at just 22 cents a pound. And remember, they deliver. Merry Christmas, Lou.
Merry Christmas, Jack. Merry Christmas and happy holidays, good listeners. Well, an assassin has killed French North African military leader Jean Darlan. Five shots rang out in the corridor leading to Admiral Darlan's office in Algiers yesterday. The mortally wounded Darlan was given the last rites in an ambulance but died before reaching a hospital in Algiers. The shooter is still at large. Jean Darlan was controversial for his steadfast and sometimes fanatical support of Vichy French President Marshal Pétain. This collaboration with the Nazis and the fact that he led a brief but furious resistance to last month's Allied invasion of North Africa's Morocco made Darlan a controversial figure. After a meeting with Lieutenant General Dwight Eisenhower, Darlan agreed to switch sides and support the Allied invasion of North Africa. People close to the situation say that Darlan was threatened with arrest if he didn't comply. Radio Algiers announced that General Henri Girard will take over Darlan's duties. Girard is a longtime foe of Hitler and currently leads French North African's armed forces. All Frenchmen have been called to support the Allied effort, to fight the only fight that counts, the liberation of France. Time for our war correspondent's reports from around the globe via shortwave radio. We begin with Wes Gallagher with Allied Fighting Forces in Tunisia, North Africa.
This is Tunisia calling. Wes Gallagher reporting. The first significant offensive action on the central Tunisian front in 2 weeks. Allied troops were reported Friday to have driven the Germans from a height dominating the important road junction to Medjez El Bab and held the position against enemy counterattacks. The success was announced by Allied North African headquarters in a communique which reported an increase in patrol activity on the northern end of the front and sharp fighting on the southern flank, where French troops were said to have repelled Axis attacks west of Kairouan. Medjez El Bab is about 35 miles southwest of Tunis. Kairouan is another 65 miles farther south and about 40 miles west of the port of Sousse, toward which a French column has been reported pushing in an effort to drive a wedge between the Axis forces in Tunisia and Field Marshal Rommel's army now retreating across Libya. With Allied fighting forces in Tunisia, this is Wes Gallagher reporting. Calling Moscow. Come in, Moscow.
This is Moscow calling. Eddie Gilmore reporting. The liberation of the Ukraine from the German invaders was pledged by Premier Stalin and Foreign Commissar Molotov in a special message Friday as the Red Army pressed into the eastern borderlands of that granary area in one of four winter offenses. Already, military circles declared, these four offenses have won back more territory from the invaders than the whole Russian comeback drive last winter. The Ukraine is and will be Soviet, the Russian war leaders told the Central Committee of the Ukraine Communist Party. A new Russian offensive in the Caucasus was reported to have returned more German-conquered territory to Russian hands and emphasized anew the peril of the Nazi armies in southern Russia. Thursday night's special communique said that in 8 days of fighting in the Middle Don area, Russian troops had advanced from 85 to 120 miles and captured 42,200 Axis troops. The communique reported 6,000 more Axis troops killed, raising to 50,000 the enemy dead so far. This is Eddie Gilmore in Moscow, calling New Guinea, calling New Guinea.
This is Buna, New Guinea calling, Daryl Berrigan reporting. Allied troops in a double envelopment have overrun the main Japanese positions in the Buna area of New Guinea and have driven the trapped enemy back to its last line of defense. General MacArthur's headquarters announced Friday. As a result of the maneuver in which Australian and American infantry tanks and artillery participated, the Allies now control practically all of the Buna airdrome and have pinned the Japanese down in a coastal strip about a mile long and 500 to 600 yards wide, the announcement said. The battle to wipe out the last Japanese forces remaining on the Papuan Peninsula thus had entered its last phase, but Allied headquarters indicated fierce fighting still was in prospect. It is a prepared and fortified citadel of resistance, the communique said tersely, of the last Japanese defense line. Allied airmen, meanwhile, in a series of operations ranging all the way from Timor to New Britain, were credited with sinking an enemy destroyer and two merchant ships, damaging a tanker and shooting down at least five Japanese planes. The destroyer was reported sunk off the New Guinea coast near Salamaua, while the two merchant ships, one a 5,000-ton transport, were destroyed off New Britain. The tanker was bombed near the Admiralty Islands. With the Allied forces in the Pacific Theater, this is Daryl Berrigan reporting from Buna, New Guinea.
Dispatches from Tokyo reported that German radio broadcasts report that Wake Island has been bombed by U.S. flying fortresses. The Christmas Eve bombardment has not been confirmed by Washington, but Berlin Radio suspects the planes came from Midway Island. A year ago, Wake Island fell to Japanese forces after being repeatedly repulsed by Marines stationed in that remote Pacific outpost. We have this Christmas message from President Roosevelt tonight. He says that Christmas isn't a merry one, with thousands of American soldiers and sailors fighting for us in faraway lands. Mr. Roosevelt continued to say that the Christmas of 1942 is happier than last year, when the forces of darkness were rolling up victories everywhere. At least now, these forces are being rolled back and have less confidence in the success of their evil ways. He says that never before have we yearned so much for that Star of Christmas, which signifies peace on earth and goodwill to men. The president went on to say that it's appropriate that most war industries took off today, the only holiday which has stopped weapons production. Palace Market News Time is 6:07 Central Wartime. Now Jack McKenna has a word from our sponsor.
Indeed I have, Lou. Thank you. This is a good time of the year to save money, what with Christmas parties and dinners and all that. Palace Market can help you out. Potato sausage, fresh potato sausage, 22 cents a pound. Lutefisk, the darling of the Scandinavians, 18 cents a pound. Smoked herring, 18 cents a pound. Boiled ham, a half pound, 29 cents. Bananas, 2 pounds for a quarter. Carrots, 5 cents a pound. Can you believe this, folks? The money you can save by shopping at the Palace Market. And if you have some dishwashing to do or some clothes to wash, Ivory Snow, large package for just 24 cents. But here's a bargain that really smacks between the eyes. Fairway Corn Flakes, one package, 9 cents. That's it, folks. That's it for Palace Market. Just dial 6665. They deliver. We're lucky, Lou. The store shelves might not be as well stocked as before the war, and the Silta might have more other stuff in it, but we're lucky people.
I thought Silta always had a lot of mystery meat in it. But you're right, Jack. We are lucky. That's why we have to help those who need it more than ever. A Solon Springs family is mourning the loss of their husband and father. 22-year-old Private John Earl Rogers was killed in action November the 29th, fighting Japanese forces in New Guinea. Private Rogers enlisted in the service 2 years ago in 1940. He's survived by his widow, Mrs. Jane Rogers, a daughter, Jane Louise, and his mother and grandparents. They received the fateful notice on behalf of a grateful nation today. Power use is on the increase in Upper Wisconsin. Superior Water, Light, and Power Company reports that a 21% increase in industrial customers, while the Lake Superior District Power Company in Ashland has increased its output 22%. Every available passenger train car has been pressed into service this holiday season as trainloads of people try to get home for the holidays in Upper Wisconsin. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the information on Christmas of 1942.
Thanks, Lou. With all trains entering Superior jammed to the vestibules and hours late, a large number of Superiorites working away from home or serving in the armed forces managed to arrive home to observe Christmas with their families today. Uniforms nearly outnumbered civilian garb as last-minute shoppers thronged Tower Avenue late yesterday, but city streets were hushed this morning, and only an occasional roar marred the Christmas quiet. For the first time in many months, the city's war plants and shipyards were closed as all workers were given a holiday. The bulk of those who stirred outside early Christmas morning were churchgoers, attending services at Protestant and Catholic churches of the city. Hundreds of residents attended Christmas Eve services at various churches. The Pilgrim Lutheran and First Covenant churches held traditional dawn programs at 5:30 this morning. All Catholic churches held Christmas masses during the morning. Concordia Lutheran Church, Bethel Lutheran, St. Paul's Lutheran churches all held services today. Train conductors were a bit frayed by train cars that were packed to the gills, Lou, but they deserve a rest tonight for a job well done.
Thank you, Mike. More than 100 children at St. Joseph Orphanage in Superior were treated to turkey dinner and cranberries today, courtesy of the veterans of foreign wars. The menu included such traditional dishes as lutefisk, lefse, blood sausage, rice pudding, herring, and silta. And, Jack, we have word from St. Mary's Hospital in Superior of a Christmas baby. Mr. and Mrs. John Belch of East 8th Street are the proud parents of a baby girl born at 8 o'clock this morning.
Congratulations to the Belch family. Condolences to the baby girl, though.
Now, Jack, what would make you say such a thing?
Well, anyone out in the listening audience born on a holiday will tell you the same thing, especially people born on Christmas. This way, a lot of people just give you one gift.
Just the same, congratulations are in order. There were three Christmas Eve babies born yesterday, good listeners. A daughter to Mr. and Mrs. William Conley. A son to Mr. and Mrs. Harold Paulson, both at St. Joseph's Hospital. And a daughter to Mr. and Mrs. Earl Strum at St. Francis Hospital.
How about that? Good luck sleeping, folks. Thanks, Lou Martin, with the 6 o'clock news. And hey, folks, we have a special program for you tonight. Uncle Bob and the Fair and Square kids will be by. They'll even treat us to a Christmas carol or two. And then Captain Q will be here, no less, to read The Night Before Christmas. I happen to know for a fact the old captain will bring his pet parrot Angus along, too.
Please tell me you won't bring that crusty old bird in our studio. You know, you can't trust it not to repeat some of the things that the children shouldn't be hearing.
Oh, my. Angus has been known to be a bit salty, too. I'll ask the captain to keep a short leash on Polly's beak. All right, friends. Here's the word from the United States Weather Bureau on Duluth's hillside for this December 25th, 1942. A wind off Lake Superior will bring some snow to the south shore. Otherwise, look for a low tonight of 3 degrees above and a high tomorrow of 12. A whopping dozen degrees, folks. Let's celebrate Christmas together, friends, with this fine selection by Dick Hames and the Song Spinners, Joy to the World, on Station KUWS.
prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ.
While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders and wonders of his love.
Indeed, indeed, Dick Hames with that very mellow selection for Christmas listening for you folks out there. Speaking of folks out there, lots of local businesses want to wish you a good holiday. Merry Christmas and a happy 1943 from Gerzik Market Meats and Groceries. Northern Brewery advises you to help the war effort by buying beer in the quart bottle so you can help conserve glass. The best for you and yours from Andreessen Ryan Coffee, better known as Arco Coffee, the Northwest's favorite coffee. To all of our old and new friends, Dahl's Grocery wishes everyone a very Merry Christmas. The Arrowhead Bridge Company hopes the spirit of Christmas will be with you throughout the year. David Siegel and his hardworking staff at Siegel Brothers of Gunhild Westman, George Renstrand, Gus Lundin, Otto Lindenberg, and Margaret Bannock send a hearty, happy Christmas and New Year to you and yours. There you have it, folks. Of course, we feel the same way here at KUWS. We know Christmas at wartime is difficult. There probably isn't a person out there who doesn't have someone they're praying for or wishes they were safe and sound here at home. But we can all gather here together in front of the radio, friends. The enjoyable music of Guy Lombardo and Frosty the Snowman on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul. With a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day.
There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found. For when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around.
Oh, Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be, and the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me.
Paused a moment when he heard him holler, "Stop!"
For Frosty the Snowman.
snowman had to hurry on his way. But he waved goodbye, saying, "Don't you cry, I'll be back again someday." Thumpity thump, thump, thumpity thump, thump, look at Frosty go. Thumpity thump, thump, thumpity thump, thump, over the hills of snow.
Sounds of Christmas, courtesy of Guy Lombardo, no less, with Frosty the Snowman on station KUWS. And coming up, friends, more music of the season with the Fair and Square Kids singing to you, and I do mean you. And if the kids sing good enough, Captain Q will show up and read, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas."
Well, I hope he makes it, Jack, but I still say he should have read that last night. You know, the night before Christmas.
Details, details. The captain is out sailing. He's busy.
Well, the lakes are still frozen.
If Santa can fly a sled loaded with
gifts... Well, I suppose then Captain Q can be sailing on Lake Superior in December. Okay, Jack. Harriet Farage is here with what's playing at the theaters this weekend. What's that you have with you, Harriet?
It's Jack's present.
My present? But I didn't get you anything. And what about Lou?
I already gave Louis his gift.
Mm-hmm. It's a scarf. I have it around my neck. It's real warm.
Here you go, Jack.
Well, let's see. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Ooh, it's wrapped so nice, too. Well, I'll take care of that. Whoa. Well, Harriet, this is wonderful. My old red fire engine, all painted, and the wheels fixed, and the ladder works. And it's just like new. But I gave this to the firefighters so they could fix it up and give it to some needy kid.
That's right, but I saw the pained expression on your face, and, well, I just went out and bought another fire truck for the firefighters, and I took yours home.
Wow! Great!
I know what Jack's going to be doing tonight. How about those movies, Harriet? By the way, that was very sweet of you.
Louis, if I'm going to be an arc welder in the shipyards, I can certainly fix up an old fire truck. The movies feature cowboys Don Redberry with the western thriller Death Valley Outlaws showing at the Princess Theater. They'll also have sports pictures, two comedies, and two pictures from the Russian war front. Coming New Year's Day to the People's Theater, 1943's first all-Technicolor movie with Paulette Goddard, Susan Hayward, and Fred McMurray, Forest Rangers. But the hottest ticket in town is for the Beacon Theater, Walt Disney's Technicolor feature from the popular book Bambi. It's a great love story that's sure to tickle your funny bone.
Who'd they get to play the lead?
It's a cartoon, Jack. The folks at the Beacon say it's best to come early. Children get in for 11 cents. Adults, 33 cents.
Harriet Farage, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, thank you, thank you for my old fire truck. Gosh. I'll turn things over now to Lou so there's room for Uncle Bob and Captain Q and the Fair and Square Kids. Merry Christmas, everyone. Here's Ella Fitzgerald. Have yourself a merry little Christmas on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. Next year all our troubles will be miles away. Once again as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who were dear to us will be near to us once more. Someday soon we all will be together, if the fates allow. Until then, we'll have to muddle through somehow. So have yourself a merry little Christmas now. until then, we'll have to muddle through somehow. So have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
Christmas time music with Ella Fitzgerald for your listening enjoyment, good listeners. Now, it's my pleasure to bring in Uncle Bob of the Fair and Square Club. Merry Christmas, Uncle Bob.
Hello, Lou Martin, and hello, boys and girls. If I was Santa, what would I be saying now?
Ho, ho, ho.
And if I was the Easter Bunny, what would I say?
No fair, Uncle Bob. The Easter Bunny doesn't talk.
Oh, boy, to be fair, you're right. Uncle Bob is just having some fun with my Fair and Square kids. Where's the Anna Lofblood?
Yes, Uncle Bob.
Will you read this letter everyone can hear?
Yes, Uncle Bob. Dear Santa, my list in telling you what I want is short due to the war. If you don't mind, I'll start right out before I close the door. I want the cheapest dye that you can buy around here and a little bit of candy to even off the year. The rest I want in war stamps to make the war end soon, so by Christmas time next year, the soldiers can come home too.
That's just the fairest and squarest and sweetest letter, Anna. And you read it so well, too. Merry Christmas to you, dear.
Merry Christmas, Uncle Bob.
Hey, who else do we have tonight? Who wants to read us a story or poem?
Ooh, I do.
I know you. You're Edwin Erickson of Herbshire. Uncle Bob knows all his club boys and girls. Go ahead, Eddie.
It's a story I wrote. I call it The Little Doll. Herbie pushed his way through the blinding snow and the wind and dug his hands deeper into the pockets of his ragged jacket. A feeling of joy went through him as he touched the tingling coins he had earned that day. After all, it had been a long time since he had gotten 85 cents in one day. He noticed a poster in a store window that reminded him there were only three shopping days left before Christmas. A pair of blue mittens hung there, too, marked 65 cents. He had money enough at home for another meal or two, and he needed mittens badly. He walked in and ordered them, and as he stood there, his eye caught the sight of a pretty little doll his sister had wanted very much. A mighty debate went on inside his tousled head. Finally, he said, "If you please, sir, I'd like to take that doll instead." His pockets were empty when he left the store, and he asked himself, "I wonder if I could have gotten those mittens after all." His answer came Christmas Eve when he handed the doll to his sister. Her eyes glistened with joyful tears, and he went to bed. What did it matter if his hands went cold, if his sis could be happy again? His thoughts faded away, and he sank into a peaceful sleep.
Uncle Bob's Fair and Square Club kids are the best anywhere. Wow, Eddie Erickson. And I bet your little sister got a dolly for Christmas from her big brother?
That was 3 years ago, during the Depression.
Oh, you're a good brother, Eddie. We have time for one more story, boys and girls. I picked it out myself. It's called Christmas Cheer by Alice Miller of Amory. Hi there, Alice.
Hello, Uncle Bob. This is a true story.
I guess a lot of families could tell this story this Christmas, Alice. Go ahead and read it. Don't be nervous now. You're just reading it to Uncle Bob.
Okay, Uncle Bob. The light was shining dimly in the kitchen in a small farmhouse, but there was a hearty and true Christmas feeling throughout the home. Taking a peek in the living room, we see a beautiful trim tree. Then a car drives in the yard. The mother in the home possesses an anxious look, then quickly opens the door and bursts in merriment with three little children shouting at the top of their voices, "Merry Christmas, Grandma!" "Well, bless my soul, everyone, all of you. Are you cold?" "Merry Christmas, son." "Same to you, Mother said," said the tall boy, who is really a man and shows traits of a very busy man. After much chatter, the little ones scampered off to bed, to awake early for it would be Christmas morning. The main talk of the evening was of Bill. He had enlisted the army some time before, and he was probably fighting now. At any rate, Mother had not heard from him for a long time. She had seemed quite worried. Early the next morning, before anyone was awake, Toadie was frightened by a knock at the door. She jumped up, slipped into her bathrobe, and softly went to the window. She saw a young man standing in the door with some papers in his gloved hand. She opened the door sort of frightfully, and the youth spoke quickly. "Does Mrs. Munson live here?" Toadie managed to say. "Yes, she does. Would you give her this message and tell her to sign here?" Toadie told him she would as she took the envelope. Quickly, she ran to Grandma, who was now wondering what was going on. Everyone was awakened when Grandma exclaimed, "Well, bless my soul, if it isn't just like a dream. Listen, everybody," she said, and began to read the paper. The first words on the yellow paper, "Dear ones, I am..." The sound faded as she slowly dropped to the floor. She had fainted. Grandpa read last words. "Bill, bless my soul."
And that's a true story, boys and girls.
It's true. It happened last Christmas. And Uncle Bill is still in the Army. He's over in Australia. That's on the other side of the world.
Well, Alice, from one uncle to another, Merry Christmas. And remember, kids, one of my favorite captains is coming, but he won't show up unless you sing a Christmas carol. I've got to go now, so I'll say goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, Uncle Bob.
And remember, it isn't square to be fair in this fair and square club.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. Over the hill we go, laughing all the way.
Ha, 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 bells and dons of ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleigh bell song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in the one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in the one-horse open sleigh. Hey!
Shiver me timbers. That's some good singing, kids.
Captain Hugh!
I've been traveling long and far, Swabbies. I've been to Australia and seen your Uncle Bill, Alice. He's a fine soldier. I've been everywhere, to the four corners of the earth, including the North Pole. Arr. That's how I comes to meet old Saint Nick. You know why he wears red, don't you?
Because it matches his cheeks?
No, it's because it's Mrs. Claus's favorite color.
Sorry, Swabbies. It's because he likes his spaghetti. And when he spills on his belly, the red suit matches the spaghetti sauce. Ah, it's true. Likes that spaghetti, he does. I've got a story to tell. Another true story about Santa. Would you like to hear it? I only tells it once a year, and I'm told you're the best boys and girls on the seven seas.
Tell it, Captain Hugh. Tell it.
You'll have to sing me another ditty when I'm done. You have to promise on my parrot Polly's beak, Old Angus. You'll sing the old captain another tune?
We will, Captain, we will. Tell us the story.
Batten down the hatches and gather round then. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and eight tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, why, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop, the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas, too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof,
the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my hand and turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a round little belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
Up on the housetop, the reindeer paws. Out jumps good old Santa Claus. Down through the chimney with lots of toys. All for the little ones' Christmas joys. Ho, 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 who wouldn't go? Ho, 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 who wouldn't go? Up on the housetop, click, click, click. Down through the chimney with good Saint Nick.
This is Radio Superior 1942. A weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson, with research by Sarah Dorman. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1932 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Your comments are welcome at 394-8530 or write to us at KUWS Radio, UW Superior, Superior, Wisconsin, 54880. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1942. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.